Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein on this wonderful, amazing Sunday evening. Today on the show, I have the amazing Laura Menzi. She is the Chief Love Officer at Ready Match, offering a unique and authentic approach to dating and matchmaking for singles in the Denver, Colorado area. By vetting clients for her relationship readiness, offering a relationship readiness boot camp and personal coaching that ultimately teaches self-matching, as well as offering true match matchmaking for singles and relationship building services. For new couples, Ready Match truly supports its clients throughout all the stages of getting ready for finding and establishing an amazing relationship. So we have Laura on the line on FacesOfSuccessRadio.com. Welcome, Laura.
Hi. Thank you, Carly. How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you today?
I am fabulous. It's a gorgeous sunny day here in Denver, and the sun is going to set soon, so it's going to set over those mountains. It's beautiful.
Oh, that's one of my favorite times of the day here. So everyone who's listening, this is a live show. So if you have any questions for Laura or myself, you can call in at 323-642-1569 and just dial 1 to be added to the queue. And we are talking to Laura about relationship readiness today, which I was actually having a conversation with someone about earlier today. So the synchronicity of this is very beautiful. let's see, Laura and I met, I don't know, a few months back, but I've known about her for a while and just excited to have her on the show. And she's been building some really magical relationship things in the Denver area. So, Laura, can you explain exactly what your expertise is?
Absolutely. Traditional education, I have a bachelor's in communications and an MBA with a focus on international business. And then I also am a professional certified coach through the ICF, which is the International Coach Federation. And I'm also certified to coach singles and couples through the Relationship Coaching Institute, where I'm also a leader and mentor in their programs for up-and-coming coaches. So I am heavily involved in coaching, and I really believe that matchmaking and helping people find love really involves in coaching, because people have certain patterns or programming, I like to say, in their subconscious that they're just not able to understand what that program is or how to change the programming, so to speak. And that's what coaching is really all about. And so helping them to change some of that stuff really opens up the doors and opens up the perspectives on all the opportunities that they have right in front of them.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
So, Laura, how do you define relationship readiness?
Well, it doesn't have a specific definition. It includes knowing who you are, what you want, where you're going in life, because I like to say, if you don't know where you're going, it's going to be very hard to tell whether or not someone is going your way. So that's when we end up hitching our train to somebody else's and taking one of those really long detours in life for about, 6 months, a year, maybe 2 years or longer. And then we end up at the end going, why did I even go with that person in the first place? They weren't the right person for me. So it's about really getting your own trajectory and knowing who you are, what you want, and where you're going, and then say, hey, do you align with me and what I want versus somebody who seems to have such an adventuresome and glamorous life?
Yeah, it's really amazing. I've been seeing a lot of posts and hearing a lot lately of words that were like, it was never meant to be, it never meant anything. I was like, oh, boy. Such a heavy statement.
It is.
And the truth
it is. We like to put a lot of heaviness in that first date, too. You know, like, can I live with that person and marry them and have their kids all on that first date? And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. I thought we were just, you know, meeting.
Right. And it's so interesting because it was like, actually, at the time, it meant something. Otherwise, you wouldn't have given it any time or thought or anything. However, you got hurt in the process, so now you're trying to disregard it completely. Right?
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
So, I mean, and that's where, you know, Laura and I work along the same lines, but our paths are a little different, so we teach different things. But, you know, it's like that's where we have to get into, okay, I learned from this, and yes, it meant something then, but it doesn't now, or, it's, you know, I'm grateful for that, I'm willing to forgive. And then how do you move on to being ready for someone? What makes a ready match different?
Well, part of it is understanding what your patterns are. And it's not just patterns in intimate relationships. You have patterns that go throughout all of your relationships, your parents, your friends, your coworkers, and your intimate relationships. So I help you to kind of uncover some of those patterns that you're doing in all of your relationships. And then making choices, once we're conscious about some of the things that we're doing and what that programming is, then you can make some conscious choices about what you want and change the programming, so to speak. I like our bodies, our minds, et cetera, to be kind of like a computer. So what's up on the screen is what we are conscious of, and you know that damn computers work in several different programs behind the scenes, but you have no idea what they are. So it's the same thing with our lives. We have all these programs running that we don't even know what they are, how they got there, but they're running. So let's find out what they are and let's change that program.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. And, you know, it's amazing when we're not ready for a relationship, you know, we tend to attract people that are not ready for one also, and then we don't try to change that process, what tends to happen?
Well, I like to say that sometimes we don't know what kind of dating that we're doing. A lot of people want a relationship but aren't really ready for a relationship. So they're really probably looking for what I call an activity partner, someone to go off and do stuff with, but not necessarily have a long-term companion relationship with. But they want to get back out there again. So it's really important to understand what kind of dating you're doing in the first place so that you can find others who are doing the same kind of dating so that you're not meeting someone who's truly ready for a relationship, but you're not, and you're going to try it on anyway, but you're just not there yet, or vice versa.
Yeah. Got it. So, Laura, what is your story in terms of dating and relationships?
Well, my parents, I think like many other parents, were not perfect. In fact, they were very far from perfect and had a terrible relationship. I was taught everything of what not to do, what it made for in resentment and anger. It just, it lacked in all those things. And my father actually is very narcissistic and sociopathic. So guess who I was picking? Just all the guys I picked when I was younger.
Yeah.
Exactly. Narcissistic guys and verbally abusive and things like that. So I actually thought I had a limiting belief, which is also part of my process. We try to uncover some of those limiting beliefs that we have, and I discovered that I had a limiting belief, which was I have to be married before I can start my own business. For some reason, I had it stuck in my head without being conscious of it that once I get married, then I could start my own business. And I woke up one day and said, why the heck am I waiting for some guy to come along before I start what I want in my life? That's ridiculous. So that was one of the things that really held me back. And now I really search for men who are confident and know who they are and what they want in life and are ready for a committed relationship, and I don't take no for an answer.
Yeah. Love it. So how
about you, Carly? What have been some of your patterns?
Oh, Lord. my parents were... Here I am, being vulnerable. My parents were... I tell this story all the time. My parents were divorced when I was about 5. So at a very, very young age, I learned that I couldn't trust men, that men abandoned me, that I also, from mostly from the age of five, I was raised by a single mom who owned her own business. So all I was taught was this very masculine, go get it energy. In addition to that, oh, it gets worse. In addition to that, I was also really criticized for everything in my life. So I came out of high school with very low self-esteem. which put me into some very dangerous situations once I realized I could, once I started dating and became sexually active. It's been quite an adventure for me. And some days I look at myself and go, I'm shocked that I'm even alive, based on some of the things I did, which I'm sure will eventually come out in a book one day. But when someone wants to read about my life, but as a result of being very insecure and having no self-confidence, plus having really deep belief systems of abandonment, oh boy, was I attracting some interesting characters. So, like, things would go great, or it would seem to be going great, and then they'd abandon me and completely disappear off the face of the earth a few weeks in. And it's because I was holding on to that belief system that I couldn't trust men, and they abandoned me, and I wasn't.
So you manifested that, or maybe you sabotaged it so that they would leave you.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. I was full of masculine energy, so I didn't know anything different. So yeah, I would run them off as well, for sure, because I wasn't letting men be men, and was being really wanty and needy and. Definitely not who I am these days by any means.
Which is not unlike most of the women and men that I coach. I mean, honestly, we don't even know how we're sabotaging our opportunities with some great people. A lot of times we meet a great person and we're so excited that we forget what we're coming to there for, to build this great relationship, and we're just kind of going along with the program and not really being conscious of all the choices that we're making. Along the way.
Exactly. It wasn't until I got into my coaching program where I discovered that I was holding on to the abandonment issue, and it stemmed from my dad's or my parents' divorce.
Yeah.
So
we uncover all kinds of stuff like that with all of my clients. I mean, we really dig in there to find out what those things are and release them, and so you can move forward and also. It's about, Carly, it's about creating a vision of what you want. I know you're like a super manifester, so it's all about, okay, well, what does it feel like to be in this relationship? And if I were to have, like, a perfect day in the relationship, what would it be like when we woke up in the morning till the moment we go to bed at night? Like, what am I smelling, tasting, seeing? And when you figure out that scenario and then you go date, then you can be like, hey, does he fit in my scenario? Nope.
Right. I mean, when you're ready for a relationship, the quickest way to manifest that partner into your life is really to get a sense of what waking up next to them or going to sleep next to them would feel like. And, as a woman, like, actually embracing what it feels like to have that man's arms around you or however you prefer it. They'll show up in no time when you start doing that on a regular basis, but my disclaimer with that is make sure you're ready.
Yeah, exactly. There's a difference between wanting and being ready, right?
Right. Well, when we want, we come out of a place of scarcity because we don't have it.
Never experienced it.
Yeah, exactly. So, when we're want, if usually want comes out of loneliness and desperation and a lot of the time, and when we're attracting someone out of loneliness and desperation, we almost sabotage our ability to choose.
You know, that's true. And to share an experience of mine, you know, after I realized I was dating narcissists and, you know, kind of figured out my pattern, et cetera, when I did date a man who was confident and who respected me and treated me nice and kind, it was such a foreign experience. I felt like I was in a foreign country. I didn't know how to behave. I didn't know how to react.
Right.
To his kindness of opening the door or, you know, telling me I'm smart or, you know, whatever it was, it was like, wow, this is weird.
Well, yeah.
And so when we manifest what we want, it's just like hard to actually enjoy it and be there because you've never actually been there.
Right.
You never actually experienced it.
Right, and that's something to address because I hear a lot of people complain, or men complain, they're like, well, they don't like it when we're chivalrous. And, you know, the truth is women love it. The reality is they're usually not used to it. So they
that's true. And it's actually some women don't love
it.
Some women don't.
Well, this is true.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of women do. I mean, when a woman can step into her femininity and feminine essence and receive that, it's a really beautiful thing. But as a society, I think we've switched things or made things so confusing that sometimes I don't think people know which way is up.
Yeah, so, I agree.
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting because I think, you know, for the most part, you know, women want that to be protected and to feel that chivalry, but it becomes uncomfortable because we've dealt with not having to deal with it and receive it for so long.
Well, it's also kind of like dancing. I liken the masculine feminine energies to dancing, where one person leads and the other one has no choice but to follow. And it doesn't mean that someone's dominating anything or somebody's taking control. It's just in order to dance, you can't both lead and you can't both follow.
Right.
Someone has to lead and someone has to follow. And it doesn't mean the whole time. You can switch off in terms of relationships, but it's about allowing that little delicate dance to happen. And it's such a delicate dance right in the very beginning of dating and building a relationship. So
it's
about being conscious of all those maneuvers.
Exactly. A lot of the women I coach are very, you know, very independent, can rule the world type feelings. And I often tell them, I say, you know, someone needs to lead and someone needs to follow. And from my experience, the person who starts the conversation, it tends to set the tone for the entire relationship. So I tell them, if you want a man who's going to lead, be willing to step back and allow him to be a man and allow him to follow.
Absolutely.
And
I think we have we've had so many women, you know, we have power now. We're able to find jobs that we want. We don't have to be a nurse, a secretary, or a teacher. We can do whatever we want in this day and age, which is unheard of and unprecedented in history, really. I mean, in our generation. And so the whole what does a woman do, what does a man do, is all gone. And then it's kind of shattered and nobody knows what the roles are anymore. So it's kind of a wild west.
it's
about figuring out what you like.
Yeah. Well, and in the dating, mating, and relating with Carly Stein Facebook group, which if anyone wants to join, you're more than welcome to. Just find it on Facebook. We often have a conversation about equality and relationship, and it usually gets pretty hot and contested. But I go along the same things you just said, like someone has to follow and someone has to be like the lead someone has to lead and someone has to follow. And, or, you know, you have your pilot and your co-pilot, you know, or the navigator, like it's a dance, and it's not necessarily being that one person needs to have it. You know, you can switch off, but with, you know, depending on what you're looking for, like, men, if you're wanting a woman who's going to let you be a man, you have to step up and kind of be one and create a safe environment for her to step into a feminine, you know, her feminine energy and feminine essence.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because I think men don't know how to be men anymore, period. And I think that's a big part of that is because a lot of them were raised by single moms and dads weren't present. You know, they were gone. And so we have this whole, you know, generation or several generations now that they don't know what it means to be a man. So they don't know what they have to do to be a man when we say that cliche of be a man, right? So nobody, it's really so crazy now.
What does that even mean anymore? Which is something you have, you know, they have to define for themselves. But, you know, I always say go back, like, 60, 70 years. And, like, though, you know, people, divorce was pretty taboo back then. And people got married because they respected and believed in the relationship. And, you know, they stayed together because of that. But I really believe that, you know, chivalry and courting were such an important aspect of creating healthy foundations for relationships.
Yeah, well, it's that delicate dance in the beginning.
Exactly.
It really is. It really is. And dancing can be sexy and romantic. It doesn't have to mean, you know, sometimes people think dancing or, you know, leading and following means one has to be submissive and one has to be dominant.
Right.
It doesn't mean that at all. So it's about learning what that dance could look like for you or manifesting what you want it to look like.
Exactly, exactly. Well, we are going to go to break, and we will be right back to talk more about the fun with dating and relationships with Laura Menzi.
All right.
Hello, we are back to Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carlene Stein on facesofsuccessradio.com. And my special guest this evening is Laura Menzi. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in at 323-642-1569. Just dial one. And we were talking about, well, we were talking about some fun stuff before the break.
Our own love lives, right?
Right. Well, that's where it started. And then we kind of got into, you know, men being men and what that kind of means. And there was a comment on maybe this person will call in if he's listening. Again, that number is 323-642-1569, and just dial one. He said, men can't be men due to a lot of reasons, including the system. So I'm not quite sure exactly what system.
Yeah. I'd be curious to know what he's talking about.
Me too. So it's, you know, interesting, and I'm not sure if that's, you know, regarding courts or something else, but you know, there are things that we can blame, of course, in every situation. But you know, the truth is, you got to choose what you can choose based on circumstances. When I say men being men, I'm talking about taking the lead and courting and being chivalrous and being a provider and a protector and, you know, cherishing the woman and valuing her and creating a safe space for her to open up to you. That's what I mostly refer to. you know, and
yeah.
Perhaps those are my personal needs, but
it is protecting and providing is a big part of a man's role, right? Protecting and providing.
Right.
But it's also,
right.
You know, like you said, it's also being, you know, cherishing the woman that you're with. You know, I got to say that they say that when people get married, the man's life is enhanced tremendously, but the woman's life is not. Why is that?
Right.
You know, does he cherish her? Does he, you know, take care of her? And it's not to say that, you know, you have to put any of us on a pedestal, but just we want our lives enhanced too. We don't want to take the responsibility of everything, because in this day and age, it's not about, you know, being a good housewife, because we're doing everything, and we expect, you know, the man to do everything too, but just let's cherish each other together.
Well, right, and, you know, consciously, when you get into a relationship that you feel that is going to be long-term, and it's like you're getting the feeling that this is the one, and I want to spend all my time with this person, like, that's when you have a conscious relationship and say, like, a conscious conversation, and you know, set those boundaries and terms. In fact, I was having a conversation with my brother the other day, and kind of, I won't talk about his personal situation, but he was, you know, kind of telling to me what he thinks goes wrong in his relationships, and I said, it's not what you think it is. I said, what it is you're doing what you're supposed to do. The problem is you're not communicating your needs to get what you want in return.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
So therefore.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So therefore, you're feeling left in the dust when the relationship goes south.
Yeah, and women do this too. It amazes me how much we want other people to guess and just know what we need or want when we don't even know ourselves. It's amazing.
Right. I mean, that happened with a past relationship of mine, and I remember him specifically saying, well, you should know what my needs are. And I'm like, well, I appreciate the fact that you think I'm a mind reader, but the truth is I'm not.
Exactly. None of us are. And heck, it's hard sometimes to even figure out what we want or need, especially in a certain situation or circumstance, et cetera. So I do have a little process that I teach people to learn how to figure out what their needs are so they can communicate them and make a request versus complain.
Right. He was like, I feel like it's always about your needs. And I was like, well, that's because I tell you what my needs are.
Well, damn right. Hey, you know, tell me what your needs are. We'll get going on them.
And I figured if I told him, he was telling me, but apparently he wasn't. But anyway.
This goes to show, you know, that kind of communication, it takes a long time to cultivate sometimes. So
Right. And, you know, it's also about setting a, like, comfortable level where you're able to communicate your needs where you're not afraid of receiving judgment on the other end.
Absolutely, yeah. So you feel safe, right? You're not feeling judged.
Exactly.
You're not feeling threatened in some way or any of that. Oh, yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, so what kind of tips, Laura, do you have for, you know, communication and really being able to communicate your needs, you know, tools for communicating your needs, I think is where I'm going with that. So what
sure.
kind of ideas or thoughts do you have for people?
Well, when I'm coaching new couples, because that's another piece of what I do, because once you know, you're single, then you date, and then you find somebody, let's help you build a healthy relationship from the foundation, from the start. So part of what I do is teach them how to build an alliance with each other. And it's a nice way of saying it is an alliance. Another way of saying it is they're the rules for engagement. So when we're in conflict, when we disagree about something, what is it that you need and what is it that I need at that moment to be able to have a healthy conversation? So that you write these things down, like, okay, these are our rules, so to speak. And I don't mean to, you know, throw out, you know, we have to have a list of rules, but it's more like, you know, well, when we are in conflict, I need you to turn the TV off or the computer or the cell phone or whatever is capturing your attention and have your full attention. Maybe that's something that you need. Or maybe you just really need to be listened to, and listening to someone includes mirroring, where you listen to somebody and then say, okay, what I heard you say was X. Did I get that right? And if you got it right, then you can move forward in the conversation, because when we end up screaming and yelling at each other, it's all because we just want to be heard. Each party wants to be heard. So what are the things that are working for you as a couple? Not necessarily these are the rules. Take them, but let's figure out for you guys how it works. What do you need? So that's just the start.
Exactly.
Just for the iceberg.
Yeah, definitely. It's, you know, it's quite amazing. So I did some market research a couple months ago and went to some of my married friends and asked them, what are your biggest obstacles you face in your relationship? And number one across the board, what do you think it was?
Communication.
Yep. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, it's so interesting. Yeah, it was definitely communication. So, you know, and it's so interesting because we put so much on communication that we tend to, like, I don't know, make things much bigger than they need to be most of the time.
Yeah, mountain out of a molehill, right?
Right? So,
well, here's the
thing,
is that they don't teach us this stuff. They don't teach us this stuff in
school.
They don't teach about relationships. We don't go through a relationship training program of any sort. And so we're just supposed to wing it. Yet in our professional lives, we go through getting our bachelor's or our master's or continuing education classes, or we go to trade shows with other people and peers in our industry, and we learn everything we can about our craft. But what do we do about relationships, which is, oh, affects every part of our lives? Nothing. We do nothing.
Exactly.
We wing it.
Exactly. Yeah, I think there was an elective class in my high school that covered getting married, but I don't think it actually required what happened when you got married. Covered that part. You know, and it amazes me that, like, this stuff needs to be taught in high school, you know?
Yeah.
You know, how do you communicate with your, right? I mean, it should be throughout life. Like, how do I communicate with the opposite sex?
Mm-hmm. Or even with a teacher, or even with, you know, anybody that you're coming in contact with, the boss, a coworker.
Yeah, I mean, I think in college there was one interpersonal communication class that was required for a communication degree. So.
Well, here's the thing: everything that I coach clients on, we work on everything we work on and coach on is applies to all parts of your life. It's not just for your intimate relationships. So all the stuff that I work with clients, it affects every facet of their life, not just their intimate relationships. So that's the bonus part of it all.
Yeah, it's true, because, I mean, even the communication part works with coworkers, bosses, whatnot, because, you know, just men and women, we think and do things operate very differently. So even
when
you just know the basis of that, like, your whole world's switched upside down, and you're like, okay, now I understand how to talk to this person better, sure.
Yeah,
awesome. So, Laura, how did you get into coaching and matchmaking?
If you had told me 7 years ago, hey, Laura, you're going to become a coach, then you're going to become a matchmaker, and you're going to move to Denver, I would have laughed in your face and told you were high. I used to do international marketing for an aerospace paint company, a company that manufactured paint that goes on the airplane. That's what I used to do. So, you can imagine, it wasn't a practical journey here. I just wasn't feeling very fulfilled in my work. I was doing marketing, which entails some communication pieces, which is part of who I am, a big part of who I am. But I wasn't feeling very fulfilled. So, I started asking friends and family, you know, what do you think my strengths are? What do you think it would be great at? You know, what do you think I should do, et cetera? And people who don't know each other were coming up to me, like different friends in different rings or circles, et cetera. And I had three different people come up to me and say, well, have you thought about being a coach? Even though they had no idea what a coach really was or did, et cetera. And I had one, like, a month before at a retreat. So I sat down with her, and she, you know, told me about where she got trained and what she does and how she does it. And I went to my very first class, and I did not sleep that night. I was out of my mind because I had found my calling. I had found the thing. Somebody could put a label to everything that I was doing already. So it was fabulous. So coaching, I started there, and then it just kept blossoming, and I just kept being open to where it would take me and what kind of coaching I would end up doing. So, if you told me 7 years ago this is what I was doing, I would have laughed at you.
I feel the same way. Maybe, 7 years ago, I mean, as much as 5 years ago, I would have never thought this would have been my path either. I'm working in hotel sales. I was miserable, but I was doing it.
And exactly.
Then I started selling intimate products, and next thing you knew, boom. We just, on the 30th, celebrated the one-year anniversary of when I was offered the show. So I was like, even...
Congratulations!
13 months ago, I would have never, ever dreamed to be a radio show personality, ever.
Life is a journey.
Following that path. Okay.
And so that's kind of what I help my clients do, too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
So, yeah, part of what I help my clients do, too, is find their purpose and build that into their lives. It doesn't have to be their job, per se, but, it, you know, what is the thing that lights you up inside that makes you throw the covers off the bed in the morning and go, woohoo, I love my life? That's where I want to get all my clients to.
Yeah, that's, well, and, you know, I think it's important to point out the fact that it's all connected. So, you know, specialize in helping people with relationships, but, like, if you're not at a place where you're ready for that, we're going to go, okay, we're not focusing on this right now. We need to get you ready for that.
Right.
So,
exactly.
Like, you know, bring it all back. Like, I've told clients before, don't date anymore till I say you can. just because, our subconscious doesn't like loss or failure by any means. So if we're continually going out on dates that are going nowhere with the intention of trying to find someone, our subconscious is going to start creating those beliefs that we're not good enough and we're not worthy and whatnot. And I'm like, just stop torturing yourself already.
Love is messy. Love is definitely messy, and when you're trying to reprogram things, you're gonna fall and fail a few times. It's like I used to teach, believe it or not, I used to teach figure skating to little kids, and I'd get two different types of kids who'd come out onto the ice rink. I'd get the kind of kid who was slipping and falling and smiling and laughing and picking themselves up and just having a ball, and then I'd get those kids who are attached to the wall and terrified to come out on the ice and. They were terrified to fall, to fail, to make a mistake. And I would skate up to them and I'd go, "Where's your ta-da?" And they'd look at me and I, of course, had two heads on my shoulders. And I said, you get to do a ta-da every time you fall. And by the end of class, all the kids are purposely falling down and saying ta-da. Because that's also the first lesson I have to teach. I have to teach them how to fall down and get up. Otherwise, I'd have a bad back.
Right, so, definitely, yeah.
We gotta fail.
Well, right, and, it's just a matter, we can get out there and fail and or have learning opportunities, but there's also a sense of really getting in touch with you.
Yes.
And being comfortable with you and loving you before you put yourself out there.
It's all part of the process, and you've got to learn how to love you through some of those experiences too, so that you're going to have those experiences in the future as well. And if you what better time than to do all this with the support of a coach? I mean, someone like you also can really help them,
Yeah, it's not often I tell someone not to date anymore for a while, but sometimes I'm like, it's necessary.
No, I get it.
Sometimes it's a little necessary.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So we're going to go to break once again, and we'll be back with Laura Menzi in just a bit. And we are back on Dating, Meeting, and Relating with Carly Stein on facesofsuccessradio.com. We just have a few more minutes left in the show. And if you have any questions or comments, you can call in to 323-642-1569. Just dial one, and Laura and I will be happy to answer your questions. So
yeah.
It's a fun, juicy hour. and so, Laura, what is one thing that listeners should take away from our conversation today? And I know we've had a lot of juicy things, but
what's one thing here?
I know, right?
Well, honestly,
two or three.
There's so many important things, but honestly, it's about self-care. It ultimately boils down to self-care, because if you don't take care of you, nobody is going to take care of you. And so it's about you knowing who you are, what you want, where you're going, and asking for those things, and, you know, not backing down for those things that are really, really important for you. So self-care versus selfish, very big difference.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You know, and I think it also really comes down to, like, where are you operating from? Are you operating from fear? Are you operating from bonus? Like, you know, when we operate from love, we manifest things real quick.
Yes. Ain't that the truth? Yeah.
Because that's higher on the, oh, I can't think of the name.
The vibrational scale.
Vibration.
So
thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a higher vibration than fear. Fear is a very low vibration. And, you know, sometimes I operate from, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I operate from fear on a regular basis.
But it's how we shift from that fear, right?
Exactly. What's important is shifting and acknowledging it and being aware of it. So, like, I was just telling my mom last week, I was like, oh, yeah, I've been operating from fear and for a week now. I got to shift this.
It's,
you know, it's amazing when we start loving us, what shows up in the world.
Yes, and you know what? We are the creators of our own life. Wherever you are in your life today, whether conscious or unconscious, you made decisions to get you where you are. And so you can make decisions to get you where you want to go if you're conscious about it. So let's get more conscious about choices that we're making, not only in our personal lives, but in all areas of our lives.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Definitely. So, Laura, what's a practical tip or tool that you can share with our listeners that they can start using immediately to be ready for the relationship, or if, you know, whichever topic you want to go through, but what's a personal tool?
Well, something that's applicable to everybody is that, you know, I get a lot of, I don't want to meet men or women in bars, you know. And I get that. Maybe you don't want somebody who's a drinker or a partier or something like that, and that's fine. But where are you going? Are you getting yourself outside of your box? Where are you going to find the men? Are you going to salons to find men? I'm sorry, you know, men aren't going to be fitness salons. They're probably going to be sitting at a sports event or maybe a car show or something. And yeah, maybe that's not your cup of tea, so to speak, but hey, that's where the men are. So maybe it's about you getting outside of your own box a bit.
Right. And I always say don't put judgment or shame on where you meet someone. You know, I say people, you know, good people and people who are just looking for sex go online dating. Drinkers and partiers go online dating. And people who, you know, run a business and, you know, there's all sorts of people in bars. There's all sorts of people who online date. There's all sorts of people everywhere, and it's more about who you're attracting based on you and your choices versus where you're attracting them.
Yeah, exactly. Bingo.
Yeah.
And it's still about you getting outside of your box, because if you keep doing the same thing expecting different results, we know what the definition of insanity is, so.
Right. Right, exactly. So, you know, there's a few meetup groups in the Denver area that you can join.
Yeah, or meetup groups in any city. I know,
right,
really.
Any city. We're referring to, for those of you who don't know, I run a singles group in Denver called Social Singles Denver. So that's what we're talking about. And I know Laura has partnered with a lot of other people who have groups. So meetup's actually a great place to step out of your comfort zone to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
I always meet interesting characters when I go to different other people's meetup groups, even my own, actually. But
I don't have a meetup group myself, but I host a lot of events. So
yeah,
it's about getting out there.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So, Laura, how can people find out more about you?
Well, of course, there's my website, which is ready-match.com. And if you go there, I will give you something that most people find invaluable, which is the Red Flags Dating Checklist. Because when you download that, Tuffy, you're going to be like, oh, my God, I don't know what I ever did without this thing. This is awesome. And so that's what you get for opting in into the site. And I have all sorts of kinds of events and programs and, you know, from low level to high level, whatever's going to suit you. So I come invite you to explore.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been a really fun conversation, really juicy.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And so we are going to actually wrap up for the evening. It's been like the quickest hour of my life. That's how much fun it was.
Cool, me too.
Yes. Yeah. So everyone tune in next week. We're going to bring on Molly Hillig. She is a relationship expert out of Cary, Illinois. And funny story, that's where I grew up. Although we did not know each other growing up, but she lives in Illinois.
And I'm from Illinois, too.
Yeah, there you go. And I was like, well, that's interesting.
That's funny.
Right down the street from my mom, I know, right? And then later in the month, I'm just about to confirm it, but we're going to do Confessions of Bar Tenders and Bar Servers. So I recently had a
That sounds
of
good.
Juicy. Uh-huh. I had a conversation with a neighbor of ours who is a server, and she's like, oh, the things I see in the bar. Oh, my goodness. I was like, please make a show out of this.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome.
So, yeah,
I'll
that's
going to
be a
that
lot
one.
Of fun. Yeah. I was like, ooh, I can't wait for that one. So, again, thank you, everyone, for tuning in to facesofsuccessradio.com. I know Monday mornings we have the Eddie Jones Show, and since it's political season, I'm sure this stuff is going to get really, really hot and controversial coming up. So, so again, thank you, everyone, for tuning in to facesofsuccessradio.com, and have a great evening.